Okay, it is April 16th, 2022. This is the study hour. And by the way, as some of you may have noticed, last Sabbath we're starting a new study in the books, chapters of Matthew 24 and 25, until we get the original pamphlet regarding Christ and his righteousness, because you know, some of you may already know about me. I like to both share the Word of God and the Spirit of prophecy, not just explain the doctrines held therein. I also like to, you know, show how certain prophetic events have been fulfilled long ago, as well as in our lifetime. And so that's why I'm jumping on Matthew 24. I only wanted to do Matthew 25 because I was in it recently, a couple, 3 months ago. And but you can't really go into 25 without understanding 24. And so I pray you're all blessed this Sabbath, is what I'm about to share, in regards to what I'm about to share, and especially when I get to verse 11, because this has, in fact, been fulfilled in our lifetime. And some of you may be shocked that some of the prophecies are being fulfilled as we speak. But Matthew 24 is where we're at. We're on verse 6. I'm probably just going to be doing verse 6 and 7 and 8. I'll probably go all the way to, let's see, I don't want to jump to maybe 13. We'll see how we go here. And I might even, a portion of this study might even become a video, like when I get to number 11 there. Well, you'll see when we get there. So anyway, verse 6 says, oh, wait, I got to get in the chat room here. Hold on. And okay. Week's been good, Brother Anthony. And I had to answer him because him and I were talking earlier. But then all these problems started happening over here. So, but okay, so verse 6. Matthew 24, verse 6, I'm probably going to go to 13 if I'm thinking about it. So verses 6 to 13, but we're on verse 6 right now, and it says, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Boy, I tell you, the accuracy of Christian prophecy is just off the chart, but and what annoys me earlier, and I praise the Lord, I decided to go and check my notes. Half of them were missing because I installed a new word processor and I was testing it out and I was doing my notes on both. And I guess half the notes were on one and the other half were on the other. And yeah, I can be that stupid at times. But anyway, as we all know, in regards to the wars and the rumors of wars, this has been the norm in the United States of America since the Civil War of 1861. And that only lasted 4 years to 65. And I recently, check this out, I recently looked it up, and I found that in the United States alone, I was talking to Fran about this the other day, and this is only, the charts they have online is only up to 2011. Just up to 2011. Yeah, 11 years short. Which at that time was our 235th year as a nation. But we had been at war 222 times. And most of those wars were, like the Civil War was 4 years, you know, and stuff like that. And so that means up to 2011, the United States of America has only been at peace for 13 years. And I'm not talking consecutive years either. It's just the culmination of the years. And I couldn't find a website listing all the wars around the year, you know, around the world since the year 1900, even though that's not the end of days. 1844 was the end of days. But I did find a list, but they didn't number it. And so I copied the list into my word processor and tagged each line that came up to 260 wars around the world. You know, like put the bullet thing on, you know, copy it into a word processor and make it, put the bullets on it, you know, those, you know, you click those little things in word processors and you can put bullets or numbers. Well, I put numbers, obviously, and I got the 260 wars. And so adding those wars to the 222 wars of the United States of America as of 2011, that didn't, and those other, you know, those 260 wars that didn't include the USA, that's 482 wars. 482 wars since the American Revolution. On average, that's exactly two wars per year for the last 241 years up to 2011 again. So it's not counting the Ukraine and all the other stuff that was going on since 2011. And so just like all the other prophecies of our Lord, wherein he usually spoke through his prophets, this one was also fulfilled to the letter. And when we get to the next verse, we see even more proof that the Bible is absolute when it comes to prophecy. Look at verse 7. It says, for nation shall rise against nation. Okay, we just covered that. And kingdom against kingdom. Okay, and then it says, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. Or different places. Or in other words, all over the place. So, this has been the norm since not too long after 1844 when the Civil War began in 1861. Yet most ignored it because they believe it to be the norm during their generation when in fact it's not normal at all. But when it comes to pestilence, there are so many diseases now. And I covered this in my book, People Get Ready. They need computers now just to keep up with the list of the diseases, not the variants. And I'm not talking of fake variants of corona, all that garbage, but I'm talking actual variants of diseases. It's because a lot of, like in today's world, like you saw for the last 2 years, they use disease for political reasons now. And so if people can't see we are in the extreme end of days, then that's only because there's a wonderful blindness upon them, which was also prophesied, you know, a strong delusion, if you will. They're allowed to believe a lie. And that will become overwhelmingly apparent when the mark starts to get enforced. But just by looking at how our leaders push a fake pandemic for the last 2 years proves this out hands down. I mean, think about it. For 2 years, we were told not to do this or not to do that. But because an election's near, now they're starting to allow people to do things that just last year we get you behind bars. Or fired. And as for famines, yeah. We've been hearing about them for decades, and because some people found a way to make millions of dollars by acting like they care about these little starving children in Ethiopia or something. I mean, I've been seeing them since I was a teenager. We haven't had a TV in our house for decades, and so we don't see those commercials anymore. I don't know. Are they still on the TV? I'd have to ask anybody that's within earshot to let me know, but and the March of Dimes. Remember the March of Dimes fundraising? For I understand they're online now, too, doing it. They used to go around, and they used to get us kids involved, too. I remember I had a March of Dimes can. You know, I was raised in a Catholic household, and so for the first 4 years, I went to Catholic parochial school, and they gave us those cans. And it was about the size of a can of soda, only thinner, you know, about the height of a can of soda, but thinner, and a little slit in the top. So the little kids couldn't steal the dimes. You know, so everybody coming up and dropping dimes in it, you know, for you. And we would go around the neighborhoods, knock on the doors, and ask people for a dime. And, yeah, and so we, and that was for those and the little kids that they always put these pictures on the news or on the March of Dimes things with the skinny little kids with flies drinking the water from their eyes. Yeah, it's just disgusting how they just took advantage of the little kids and just to make money. Those kids were still starving. The amount of money that they got, they fed maybe, you know, 10% of the kids and made a big to-do about it so everybody could see it and keep on sending money. But the rest of the kids, no, they were just dropping dead like all over the place. But as for the earthquakes, there are literally thousands of earthquakes every week now. You know, we used to have someone that used to post the earthquakes every week, but he has since fallen off the path, and so but he's not a pastor or nothing like that, so there's no need to go further. But yeah, thousands per week, thousands of earthquakes per week. And most are small, yeah, but a quake is a quake. Doesn't matter how small. The Lord didn't say it's got to be 8.2 or greater for you to count it. I mean, the basic reality is earthquakes have never, ever been the norm. Well, unless you count when the earth shook as the Lord's presence descended on Mount Sinai thousands of years ago, you know, when he burnt the whole top of that mountain. Looks like a shadow to this day, even though there's no mountains higher than it around it. You know, the earth, and it's no mistake, the earth is shaking even more now as he's descending. You know, he's coming to take us home. As the day comes closer, it doesn't naturally. But then again, I don't know about linear time and eternity, and so it's kind of hard to figure out why there's a cloud coming out of the Orion Nebula now, even though the day or the hour hasn't come yet. So I don't know, maybe there's different ways of how time works in outer space or eternity or whatever, I don't know. All I do know is physicists have recently declared about 5 years ago that what's happening on the surface of the sun changes all physics on Earth. The reason being is they're saying the surface is in a different time zone than the core. I mean, it's just, it's like it's got two time periods. I don't know how they were explaining it. It was just too, I never got into the calculus stuff, but anyway, our Lord is soon to come. Okay, so verse 8 says, all these are the beginning of sorrows. So your great-grandparents saw all this stuff, because we know the end of days began October 22nd, 1844. That's the end. That's the very day the 2,300-year prophecy of Daniel ended. And the only reason we have that date is because Gabriel gave him the dates. And then we also know in Revelation it says that the dates, or the giving of dates on prophecies ended at the end of that 2,300-year prophecy. So we can't set dates anymore, like Daniel did. We can't. We can tell you what's going to come next, yeah, but we can't tell you the exact date. And so all these are the beginning of sorrows. And in verse 9 says, sorry, I should have said I was going to run on the 9 there too. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. You know, those governments that could protect Christians back then stepped back, you know, back during the Inquisition, you know, the 500 million Christians that were killed by the Pope. The governments that could have helped the Christians back then stepped back so as to allow Rome to go forth killing the Christians so as to not lose their political connections. That's why you see what's happening now. All the world's wondering after the beast. Only the Vatican could have come up with that plandemic. All right? And they're doing the same thing today for Rome, you know, when it comes to killing Christians, but now instead of using Hitler like they did years ago, or even the civil authorities during the Inquisition, or actual prelates of Rome like some of the bishops and the cardinals would go out and kill in little villages and stuff because it was just what they lived to do. They loved to kill. But now they have Muslims doing it. And soon they will use every so-called Christian to try to kill God's people during Plague 6, at the end of Plague 6. Well, actually, during all the plagues, but, you know, of course, we all know about how the Lord holds them back. Okay, so let's get to verse 10 here. And it says, and then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. You know, this happens now as many, again, so-called Christians, hate the obedient Christians. Look at the way the SDAs hate us, or the Catholics hate us, only because we want to do what the Lord says. What business it is of theirs is odd. I mean, it's none of their business. I mean, if they don't like what we do, like if we were a TV show, turn the channel, you know. But no, some people like to dig and attack, like the homosexuals. You know, it's they'll purposely set out. I mean, there's a couple of them got busted for doing this, where these homosexuals were calling Christian businesses and they got caught. They were specifically targeting Christian businesses to use the homosexual card because it was a political fault. You know, ever since that cake shop up there on the West Coast, and they're still going to court. Did you know that? They won and then they got sued again. It's just nuts. And so the reason some betray the Christians in the coming days is because, again, they fear the Vatican. They, and the Vatican at this time will be claiming that they're going to die. Everybody's going to die on the planet if the real Christians don't stop breaking the Vatican Sabbath of Sunday. And so many are going to seek to kill us because they fear to die with us as persecution grows. It's just a weird paradox, if you will, of how it's all going to go down very, very soon. I wish I could go into more detail about this, but like I said, a lot of my notes, I don't know what happened. But the fact of the matter is, most of us already know all about this. And so the hatred of the Christians is very apparent now via the bold fruits of the homosexual, the Catholic, the SDAs, and even the atheists, and, of course, the Muslims. The weird thing about the Muslims, though, they think anybody that calls Jesus Christ Lord is Roman Catholic, and that's what they want. They're not out to kill Christians. Okay, some eyebrows just jumped off your forehead, right? They're out to kill Catholics, right? Because of what went down during the Crusades, when the Catholic Church reneged on the deal. You do this for us. You kill all these people for us. We'll give you the land of Israel. And they didn't. And then the Crusades came. And then a third of the world, that prophecy about the third dying and all that. And so it got, if I recall the dates on that, I may be a little bit off on this because, again, my notes. So, but the fact of the matter is when a Catholic kills a Christian, he thinks he's killing a Catholic. When a Muslim kills a Christian, well, what's the difference? The Muslims worship Mary too. Now, if you've ever seen in the Quran what they're doing. As a matter of fact, I made a video about that where a Muslim admitted he left Islam and joined the Catholic Church because of all the talk about Mary in the Quran. Kid you not. I got a video all about that. And so the hatred of the Christians is going to be pretty much obvious in today's world, with the homosexuals and Catholics and the SD, all of them. And of course, all those that declare us to be anti-vaxxers. And that, of course, was Vatican's desire to push forward into the media the term anti-vaxxer, because pretty soon it's going to be anti-Sabbath or whatever. In other words, they're building the sheeple mindset, and most people are falling for it. And so our job is going to be even that much more difficult when we go forth in a loud cry. But don't let that bother you, because when the latter rain falls upon you, you're going to have abilities even the apostles couldn't. And you're going to be able to proclaim things in ways that, it doesn't matter how brainwashed the people are, the Lord is going to give us words that are going to cut their hearts. They're going to have to make decision, the conscious decision. They're going to know what we say is the truth. That's what the prophecy says. And so, verse 11 is where we're at right now. Actually, this has been going on for 2,000 years, obviously, but it's off the chart in our day. Verse 11 says, "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many." Well, just so you know, and we already know this, every 501c3 government approved preacher, or not government approved, doesn't matter, if he's got a 501c3, he's government approved, every single solitary one of these preachers is a false prophet in many ways. The main way being, all churches now echo the false prophecies of the Jesuits of Rome, who invented them so as to counter the Great Reformation of Luther, as well as protect the Pope's true identity as Antichrist, as prophesied, which was to be bloodthirsty. And then all of this was confirmed and fulfilled during the Inquisitions. And then, of course, all the churches teach the false doctrine of Sunday Sabbath, and that exposes the many false prophets by the millions, because there's millions of pastors that claim Sunday is the Sabbath. And we all know that their false doctrines also expose them as false prophets due to how they, declare Allah is God, or homosexual marriage is okay, or women can stand as pastors. And they even changed their statement of faith, the SDAs did, in 1980, so as to agree with the Vatican Trinity and many other pagan rituals. I got a video about that where I put the original statement of faith on one side of the video on the screen, and then the other on the new one, the 1980 one. In other words, the SDA church is no longer SDA. It's completely changed, but they kept the name. Why? So that when they tell you if you leave the church, you're shaken out, you don't realize you're already been shaken out if you stay in that church. It's no longer SDA. But And this is the worst of all, in exposing their inability to understand prophecy. For we all know this. The only way to understand prophecy as well as doctrine is to obey the guy that wrote it. And so the 501c3 contract in every single solitary Seventh-day Adventist church today confirms the Lord has removed their ability to understand basic prophecies regarding the image of the beast, because they're creating it with their own hands. Yeah, they may have many prophecy seminars every single year, but even a 10-year-old child with an articulate tongue can hold the exact same seminars, because all he has to do is recite all that the SDA pioneers studied up when the SDA church was still obedient in the ninth hour. The SDA leaders have become so blind, and rightly so, as just deserts for their open apostasy, but they have become so blind that they cannot see the prophetic fulfillment in that prophesied contract wherein they literally signed on to, which then creates an image to the Vatican beast. And I pray you're listening very closely now. Notice what transpired before everyone's eyes in all the churches around the world. Because open sin and the long prophesied act of embracing apostasy in those churches is something they were all prophesied to miss anyway. Right down to the people sitting in the pews. Please listen closely. Due to open sin and apostasy being embraced by the Jews 2,000 years ago, the Lord removed their ability to rule their own nation, did he not? Yeah. Not only did they bow to Rome back then in many ways regarding how to run their church as well as their state, the church was corrupted to the core. Worse yet, they were so corrupt, Rome was able to choose who stood as high priest. Yeah. Rome literally placed certain men as high priest who then knew, the Roman ruler Caesar knew these men that they're putting in these places, they knew they would do as Rome commanded. Notice what was declared back in 1905 in the Southern Watchman. I'm going to put it in the room here. Let's see, where is it? Okay. Here you go. Southern Watchman, March 28, 1905, paragraph 8. It says, the Romans claimed the right of appointing and removing the high priest, and the office was often secured by fraud, bribery, and even murder. Thus, the priesthood became more and more corrupt. Now, I have heard many horror stories from brothers and sisters in the faith with us here in the SDR movement that left the Seventh-day Adventist Church so as to join with the prophesied remnant of her seed regarding false doctrine, and even some pastors in the SDA church preaching that Allah is God, as well as Vatican prophecies, you know, about a day equaling a day, you know, like David Gates did. I mean, I did a video about this in December of 2018 titled SDA False Prophets, and with a few of the false prophets' names in the title, and they're all SDA. Rome has taken the SDA church, and they did this decades ago, and I've got hundreds of quotes to prove it listed on SDAapostasy.org. But have you seen? Now, there's a reason I'm sharing this, because of what I started with. You know, that being Rome ruling the Jews back then. Have you seen the videos of Hillary Clinton praising the Seventh-day Adventist Church and the Seventh-day Adventist World Church, as they called it, was actually praising Barack Obama on camera? Two separate videos. And were you aware that Seventh-day Adventist leader Ben Carson now holds a political office? that's no mistake. I mean, is it any wonder that not long after Ben Carson gained a political office in the very nation prophecy calls the second beast of Revelation that, you know, that we know is going to help the first beast to enforce the mark of the beast? With all that in mind, how the SDA Church is, let's see if I could word this, because like I said, my notes aren't where they should be, but when we think about all this that they did, you know, even down to the point of giving one of the SDA leaders a political position, which showed that, in other words, that had to happen after they allowed Rome or the political leaders like Clinton and that other guy in the Seventh-day Adventist Church praising Barack Obama. You have to make Rome look good before they'll give you what you want. And they wanted a political seat. And they now got it. The Seventh-day Adventist Church has a political seat thanks to Ben Carson. So with all that in mind, and how the SDA Church is following the lead of the Jewish synagogues of 2,000 years ago, the Jewish leaders paid tribute to Rome because they fell into apostasy and open sin. But were you aware that the Seventh-day Adventist leaders pay tribute to Rome today? A lot of people don't know that. I got a video all about it. It's titled SDA Tithe to Pope. I made that back in February of 2019. Thanks to certain documents from the General Conference leaders that were sent out to answer certain questions brought on by some of their members, as I show in the video, these letters were sent out on Seventh-day Adventist General Conference letterhead, no less, wherein they are caught lying in type, in writing, and that admit in writing that they do actually send a portion of the tithe from the Seventh-day Adventist people to the Pope so as to maintain their membership in both the National and World Council of Churches. When we look at how the Seventh-day Adventist Church changed their statement of faith in 1980, then they started to have many meetings with the Pope, which then culminated with the one meeting wherein General Conference Representative Bert Beach gave the Pope an actual medal on November 8, 2001. It wasn't long after that that we saw the political elite in the USA praising the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and then the Seventh-day Adventist Church praising the corrupt political leaders on camera. This is all part of what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 24. Then, after we saw that, we see all sorts of pictures where guys like Doug Batchelor are smiling alongside Vatican leaders and some wearing literal black pagan robes with the hoods. And he seems to think that this is no big deal. And now, and more than once on camera, Catholic priests are in Seventh-day Adventist churches preaching. And when one of them actually says, "I can't believe it, I'm a Catholic priest preaching in the Seventh-day Adventist church," and everybody applauded. Everybody in the pews applauded. Well, maybe a few Christians, you know, got up, walked out, never walked back in. I would hope. And then one Seventh-day Adventist leader put on a Vatican robe and declared the Pope a holy leader, just like Ben Carson did on camera, called him a holy leader, and in writing. And then not long after, the Seventh-day Adventist leaders started to promote Vatican dogma and political agendas like Allah being the Christian God or Islamic Ramadan is virtuous, homosexual marriage is sanctioned, the NIV Bible is safe, sponsored racetrack drinking events on Sabbath day is acceptable, and holding a Catholic Mass on Sunday at the same racetrack, they all say this is okay. I can go on for hours, of course, as I have nearly 400 articles about this at SDA Apostasy, and more offline, because I haven't updated that website and since May of 2020. I've been kind of busy. But the reason I shared all this is to glorify our King Jesus, who clearly prophesied 2,000 years ago that those who embrace sin will also grow cold when it comes to loving their fellow man as well as loving Christ. I mean, verse 12 even goes so far as to say, you know, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But the way they deny Christ left and right in all the churches, not just the SDA church, it shows us that these prophecies that Christ put, well, all the prophecies in the scripture were written by Christ, obviously. He just literally declared these things with his own lips that day, you know, 2,000 years ago for all of us to listen to today. But this lack of love, I'm even thinking about putting a page on the website about this, but I'm updating way too many pages on a regular basis anyway for the blog, because every week I'm coming up with articles about moms killing their kids. One woman, she's right now in, I think it's in Texas. She drowned all five of her children in the bathtub. And how did she not, I guess I'm hoping at least that, you know, the kids didn't know what was going on until it was too late, where she didn't bring them into the bathroom and saw their dead siblings on the floor. But yeah, the love of many is wax cold. I mean, when the people embrace sin, they're going to emulate the character of the one and only dying God, Satan, who has no love in him. So this is going to be the norm. This is why those that call themselves Christians are going to surround us if we're part of the Gideon band, you know, at the end of Plague 6. And so everything from killing their very own precious little babies in their bathtubs or even abortion clinics, millions per year in the USA alone, and so everything from killing the babies to killing their grandparents via the AMA's doctor-assisted suicide to save money that they would otherwise waste, as they say, on paying for medical procedures for their dying grandparents to live a few more days. Yeah. There's a reason there's a snake intertwining the AMA logo. Oh, and by the way, many people have sent me that video called Watch the Water. I might post it on the hidden Plandemic page on the website. I'm thinking about it. But if I do, and I've already shared this with, I've never seen so many people send me the same video over and over and over again. And one of the brothers was nice enough to show me where I should start watching because it's 59 minutes. I thought it was 49 minutes long. The thing I don't like about it is the fact that it is based on fear-mongering. Okay? The viral, like if I put this on my site, I might put this blurb that, well, here, let me get to Acts 28 real quick. And I'll close with this. But Acts 28, where am I going to start? Verses 3 to 6. I'll just do that. Oh, come on. That's not Acts. That's Matthew. I tell you, Acts chapter 28, verses 3 to 6. Okay. But before I read that, this video called Watch the Water proves, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I believe what they're proving in the video is real. Okay? You know, about them using snake venom to kill people in remdesivir, as well as the mRNA technology that they put in the vaccines that will highlight remdesivir and anything else. You know, in other words, change the DNA of the person to match that of, like, what Sister White called amalgamation, mixing animals with humans. But in this case, it's a serpent, the king cobra serpent, as well as the Crates snake that's extremely venomous and deadly. So what he says is true, but the problem that struck me as odd, right in the middle of the video, he admits that he was interviewed by InfoWars. I've exposed InfoWars many times, and I got a page on the website all about Alex Jones. He is a Jesuit coadjutor. His ministry, and I call it a ministry because he's working for the Vatican, is to go out and make the people think there's a guy in their corner with disinformation and false prophecies. Like more than 50% of what he says is going to happen never happens, but the other 49 or so percent of it does, because he's got inside information to make it look feasible and believable. But it is fear-mongering. Now, this fear, like the prophecy says, the men's hearts are failing them for fear in these last days. This fear is going to be real for the overwhelming majority of the planet because they don't trust Christ. But how does this play into Acts 28? Well, do you give thanks before you eat? I witnessed this with my own eyes. I ate the exact same meal everyone else did at a table one time in a greasy spoon when I was selling insurance. And we all would go out on Fridays when we got our paychecks and just have lunch and then go home. And we picked the cheapest place to go because we were all struggling. And everybody got food poisoning except for myself. And the Lord allows me to see these things so I could share them with you because I know some of you have seen this too. You give thanks for the food. It even says, even if you drink something harmful, it will not harm you. You're the Christians. It always reminds me of that Nazi that brought the German Shepherd into the room and took a toothpick and put it into a vial, got it wet, and then touched the tongue of the German Shepherd, the dog, in front of this guy that they wanted info from. The dog went into convulsions within 10 seconds and died instantly. And then they forced the entire vial down the throat of the Christian. Nothing happened. Eyes started opening for those men. Why did I share all that? Well, yeah, the remdesivir, the vaccine, all this stuff is all supposedly because of the paperwork that comes out. Even the terms like corona means crown or king, and in Latin. And or no, actually, in, I think it is Latin, and it comes out to English as king. And then virus in Latin is venom. One of the definitions is venom. But you'd have to watch the whole video to get what I'm saying here. But I wouldn't suggest watching it unless you're a strong Christian, because that's why I'm thinking I'm not going to put it on the site, because it might scare some people. But why did I share Acts 28, verses 3 to 6? Well, I'm going to read it to you. Oh, Sean just put it in the room. It says, as Paul gathered, they shipwrecked and all this other stuff, and he was on his way to Rome. Just as we're on our way to go forth and proclaim the message before everyone in a loud cry. They all thought him going to Rome was going to go. Satan obviously wanted to stop him. Because it says, as Paul gathered an armful of sticks and was laying them on the fire, a poisonous snake. And let me look up that word snake here. I wonder if it goes. It says viper in the King James Plus. Oh, wait, what are we at here? Why is it saying snake here? Oh, no, it's. Oh, I should have started it. Where am I at here? Why did it say snake? Because now it doesn't. It says a viper. Because that's what I was looking for, the word viper. Let's see. Did I hit the wrong button? Yep, I hit the wrong button. There's these other translations that come with Esword. All right, so King James. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. Which means he just got a venomous, snake bite. And then verse 4 says, and when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man's a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, because they just shipwrecked and all that, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. Because that's the mindset back then, right? Everything was about what you did wrong. That's why Jesus had to explain himself about the tower at Siloam when it fell on certain people. Because they all thought, well, what did they do wrong? Why did they have to? People didn't get it. So anyway, verses 5 and 6 says, and he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, because they knew what kind of snake it was. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. Okay, there's a whole sermon there, because one minute they're saying he's a killer and worthy of death, and the next minute it's a breakneck turn, the guy's a god. You know, that's what happens with Catholicism, too. It's all about sensationalism. I actually have Catholics trying to convince me I'm wrong by all the apparitions that happen. Not the scriptures. No. All these apparitions, or dead grandmother came in and told her that this is correct and whatever. People still do that to this day. And so all that we see happening, and this is what I was going to, like, if I put this on the site about all that we see happening in regards to the corona thing, Christians need to seek Christ as did Paul. For in so doing, they won't have to fear such things. And the proof, of course, I put in there was Acts chapter 28, verses 3 to 6. But the obvious reality here is that, how do I put this? This video is showing Satan's hand again in a very graphic manner. And what I mean is, Satan used a serpent in Eden. He used a serpent on Paul. And now he seeks to use a serpent on all. But it's not going to work. Paul proved it. And so trust the Lord. This is the only, this is why it's so important to study the Bibles daily. If you have this kind of inside information in regards to what happens with these viper bites and stuff like that, or these, you know, what they're doing with the, snake venom in there, you wouldn't believe some of the articles the guy came up with, but again, it's a lot of fear-mongering is all it really is. As Christians, we know that the viper bite won't harm us. You know, if we're obedient Christians like Paul, we know all's going to be well. And so, but still, we have to also understand that we are living in the time that Jesus said, because the sin is so much off the chart, or as he said, iniquity shall abound. The love of many has waxed cold. It has waxed very cold. Because they're all emulating their God. And this is helping them with, because the devil worshiping Vatican, you know, I mean, they went so far as they got a serpent-shaped building called the Audience Hall, where when you step into, it doesn't just look like a serpent on the outside. When you step in, it looks like the Pope is speaking from the mouth of the serpent. It's got fangs and everything. And so everything from killing their own babies, killing their grandparents, and, you know, this has literally become normal today. Could you imagine 50 years ago if they said, yeah, my grandma and grandpa are, you know, probably going to die in the next couple, 3 years, but they're going to drain a lot of your income because it's going to be very expensive. And so you have the option to kill your mother, your grandmother and your grandfather. Yeah, that wouldn't fly at all 50 years ago. Why is it flying now? Seriously, if you don't know these are the end of days, you've got a great and marvelous, you know, blindness upon you. And that's not even mentioning the mass murders, the riots, the racism that has become positive talking points, depending upon which side of the aisle you hail from. Think about that. Racism is okay if for this reason. Riots are okay for this reason. Racism and riots and murder and letting criminals out of jail and not even letting them go to jail, you know, bond out of court with I bonds all the time. I mean, it was a rarity in my day, you know, but once in a while I got out on an I bond because it wasn't a very bad crime. But now it's like they're handing them out like Monopoly, you know, the game, you know, the get out of jail free cards. Is that any wonder that the cities are getting more and more violent? And to close on this, we are supposed to get out of the cities, yeah. And the SDA Church keeps on saying, get out of the cities when they start to enforce the mark. That's the last sign. What's wrong with getting out now? especially now that they're putting this stuff in the drinking water in the cities. That's why that video said, watch the water. But again, if you're a real Christian, you don't have to worry. But are you a real Christian? Hope and pray that you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. And Brother Lawrence will be, you know, picking it up with the sermon after you hear some music. God bless.